invite you to turn with me to Exodus 18. We are nearly halfway through Exodus. As we approach this text this morning, I want to point you to a leadership principle. A leadership principle. Moses, thus far, had been leading the people. Yeah, he's had Aaron as a spokesperson that he attempted to bargain with God so he could get God to provide somebody else to be delivered. So you see Moses and Aaron side by side. But pretty much it's been Moses exclusively up to this time. Moses has taken the brunt of the heat. He's taken the brunt of the abuse from the Israelites. They get thirsty, they complain against Moses. They get hungry, they complain against Moses. They got a vast sea ahead of them and an army bearing down, they complain against Moses. But we see in this text, change is a coming. Change is a coming. We have 2 points this morning: family reunion and advice received. Family reunion and advice received. Exodus 18, the first 12 verses. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel's people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I've been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father said he was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness. And he had encamped at the mountain of God. And he said to Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife, and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he delivered out of the hands of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrificed to God. And Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. Before we go to the Lord in prayer, let's read again Jethro's words in 10:11. Blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we thank you. We thank you that your hand was upon Moses. Your hand was upon the Israelites. Your hand was even upon Jethro as he declares his confession that you were above all gods. Your hand was upon those who called upon you throughout history. And your hand is upon us today. Your hand is upon us through circumstances and despite consequences. Your hand is upon us, both in good times and in bad, both in times of rejoicing and in times of suffering. Your hand is upon us when it looks like we're entering into the promised land, and your hand is upon us when we feel like we're in the desert, the wilderness. Lord, we thank you that this text this morning was preserved through generations and centuries by you. Not one jot, not one tittle was lost. But we have your word as you initially prescribed it to Moses. In your name we pray. Amen. Moses' father-in-law comes for a visit. You know, it is apparent that at some time Moses had sent Zipporah, his wife, and his two sons back to Midian. Because we have no record of them being in Egypt at the time of the Exodus. The last time we saw Zipporah, she had just circumcised their sons herself, held up their foreskins and said, "You are a bloody husband." This man Jethro, he is the priest of Midian. Priest of Midian. That means he was also a son of Abraham. Because Midianites were descendants of Abraham by his second wife after Sarah had died. And so the Midianites, although they weren't following Yahweh as Abraham did, as Isaac did, as Jacob did, and now as Moses is, they did know something of the truth. If you look at the various world religions, and even those pseudo-Christian cults, you'll find that they're not jam-packed with nothing but lies, but usually there's a kernel of truth. Remember what Paul did when he was on Mars Hill? He walked around the city. He said, "Y'all are very religious. In fact, you've got this idol to an unknown God. Let me tell you who this is. When you and me encounter the cults, let us not be like the typical Christian that goes off hiding when the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons show up. Open your door." Well, first of all, stay in your Bible. Because if you're not daily in your Bible, don't open your door. Because they are well-versed in their proof text. And if you're not well-versed in what the Scriptures actually say, they can deceive you. Be in your Bible. Be willing to talk to them. Listen to what they have to say and find that one kernel of truth. Find that idol to an unknown God. Pull it out and say, "Okay, let me show you what this really means." Midian was like those Jehovah's Witnesses, like those Mormons. Moses had spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. Moses had taken his wife from the Midianites. He had grown close to Jethro and to the Midianites. He was well accustomed to their beliefs. And he welcomes Jethro in, and they counsel with one another. Moses shares all that God has done. Moses had a close bond with Jethro. And that's evidenced by bringing him into the tent, by sharing all that God had done. In our day, we hear folks say, well, I love this person over here, or I love this person over here. Have you shared Jesus with them? Because if you haven't shared Jesus with them and they're lost, you can't really say that you love them. Because how can you allow somebody that you love to die and go to hell? What's the most loving thing that you can do for those in your life? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the work of Jesus on the cross as the once-for-all sacrifice for their sin. That's what Moses is doing. He's telling Jethro all that God has done for Israel. I mean, Moses had a life in Midian. I don't know how successful he was, but he had a life in Midian. He had established roots. He could have very easily said no. But he surrendered to God's will. And in 8 through 12, we see Jethro's confession, specifically in those verses that we reread. But in 8, after Moses tells him all that God's done for the Israelites and how the Lord delivered them, what does it say in verse 9? Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro rejoiced at the hand of God at work. At this point, Jethro's an unbeliever. But he finds himself rejoicing at the work of God. How many times do people today who profess faith in Christ display a lack of rejoicing in the works of God? Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who delivered you out of Egypt, out of Pharaoh's hand. Delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. And then he makes his confession of faith. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. He's acknowledging. He's walking away from his old life. He's recognizing that his old life is sinful. That his old life is debaucherous and depraved. It's vile. And he says, the Lord is greater than all gods. Where the thing where the Egyptians dealt proudly, he was above them. Jethro makes a statement that shows he has a saving knowledge of God. What does it say in verse 12? Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. He evidenced his saving knowledge by giving an offering, a burnt offering unto God. Now these two believers in verses 13 through 27. Show themselves to be iron sharpening iron. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat and judged the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from the morning unto the evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. I do make them to know the statutes of God and His laws. And Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it by thyself alone. Hearken thou unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to God, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself. They shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all these people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that was said. Moses chose able men out of Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people in all seasons. The hard causes they brought to Moses, and every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Jethro was loved and loved Moses. Jethro respected Moses. He was enthusiastic about Moses and about the work that Moses was committed to. He offered counsel to lighten the load. He saw that there was a problem here. Moses was standing by himself. Moses was the lone front man, and Israel from morning till evening was coming, and he was having to judge, decide between this one and that, this one and that, this one and that. That is enough to wear anybody down. He suggests that Moses appoint judges, that Moses delegate this labor to help settle disputes. Now, y'all know that I utilize J. Vernon McGee quite a lot in sermon prep. This is one area where I depart majorly from J. Vernon McGee. Because J. Vernon McGee says that this is an example of human wisdom, earthly wisdom, versus God's wisdom. I wholeheartedly disagree. Because I think when we look at the entirety of the biblical story, the entirety of the biblical text, that we see that there's a principle being laid down here. God never intends for one person to be the sole front man. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now I read this because when we get to the book of Acts, in chapter 2, sorry, chapter 1, Judas is out of the picture now. They find themselves needing to replace Judas. What's the criteria? They have to have been with Jesus from the time of his baptism until the ascension. Alright, so you have Jesus' baptism. So we have folks along the riverbank observing as John tries to forbade Jesus from being baptized. Jesus says, let's fulfill all righteousness. Flip over to chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receiving custom. And he saith to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat and ate in the house, the old many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose name is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So, Jesus was baptized. Jesus begins calling men to himself to follow him. And then he sits down and officially names the 12 disciples. Now, Jesus is sinless. He's the only one who's ever lived who perfectly obeyed the law. But he sets apart disciples. We see this story repeated. And we see further details in Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 2, Mark chapter 3, Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 6, John chapter 1. We see further details along the way. The other synoptic gospel writers and John even intermingling their own perspective, fresh perspective, to show a fuller picture. Jesus didn't need the help himself. But he knew that he was here for a set period of time. And then after he would depart, then he would be handing off this ministry. He didn't raise up one person and say, okay, you, Simon, I'm going to build the church on you. But rather, he had 12 disciples. What do we see in the book of Acts? Church is in Jerusalem. And there's in the early chapters of Acts, James isn't quite on the scene yet as the pastor, as the shepherd of the church of Jerusalem. But you have all 12 disciples working in harmony, in a plurality, within that first church at Jerusalem. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, we'll read the first 7 verses. And I want to key you in on the priorities of ministry. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. The 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch. Then they set before the apostles, when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What are the priorities for ministry? Prayer and the ministry of the word. Let's go back to the Exodus text. If Moses is spending his entire day from morning till evening listening to the disputes among the people, when does he have time to get away? When does he have time to be in prayer? When does he have time to be in God's Word? Moses is the man that's tasked with not only delivering them out of Egypt, but getting them, and at least we know from Numbers chapter 20, to the threshold of the promised land. If all he's doing from morning till evening is listening to disputes, he's not going to be able to get them a step further toward the promised land. If all he's doing from morning till evening, he's not able to remove himself for a period of time so that he can be in the Word himself, so he can be refreshed himself. All he's doing is pouring himself out, pouring himself out, pouring himself out. And guess what? If all you do is pour yourself out, but you're never getting filled back up, eventually you're going to come up empty and dry. So this is why I disagree with J. Vernon McGee. Jethro's advice was not earthly human advice. It wasn't trying to employ the methods of the world into the ways of God. But Jethro was brought into Moses' life again for this reunion for such a time as this, to speak truth into Moses' life. To say, what you're doing is good work, but you can't keep doing this and forsake the great work. What's the great work? Moses is tasked with getting to the promised land. This is why, here at Sovereign Grace Assembly, we do not have a solo pastor. We do not have a senior pastor. We believe in a plurality of elders. And as we understand Acts chapter 6, the primary task of we as the elders of Sovereign Grace Assembly are prayer and the ministry of the word. Yeah, there's going to be other things that come up from time to time. But those things are not to distract us from the prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now, when the times come that we grow, and we have more people amongst us, and we have a need for deacons, then we will set aside deacons. Good job. We will set aside deacons for those other tasks, so that we are not just ever going to be distracted from prayer and the ministry of the Word. What's the advice received by Moses? Moses, you focus on what God's called you to do. What's the focus for we as the elders of Sovereign Grace Assembly? Elders, you focus on what God has called you to do. What's the message for we as the entirety of Sovereign Grace Assembly? Understand, Sovereign Grace Assembly, that God has placed elders for a very specific task of equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. There's nobody who professes faith in Jesus Christ who should only be coming and occupying a seat. If you're part of a local church, if you're part of Sovereign Grace Assembly, you're not just occupying a chair, but you are a part of the body. God has gifted you individually and uniquely for His service. And as we as the elders focus on our priorities of prayer, ministry, the Word, those priorities are practically applied in equipping you to, first of all, identify your gifts and to utilize your gifts. Family reunions are good and sweet. Family reunions are times when we can reminisce on crazy events, on joyous events, when we can reminisce on how God brought us through sorrowful events. Family reunions are also times that we can look to those that we don't see as often. And we can run something that we're going through in life right here, right now, across them so that they can have fresh eyes. Jethro had fresh eyes on the perspective. And with fresh eyes, he was able to speak truth into Moses' life. If we remain clear in our conviction that a church is to be led by a plurality of elders, then we must be clear that the elders' task is prayer, first of all, and the ministry of the Word, equipping you for the works of service that God has prepared beforehand, that you walk in them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace. Lord, we thank you that you raise up churches for your glory. That you call men to lead your churches, not as lone rangers, but as teams. Teams of men who are equal in position, though not equal in responsibility. There are some elders who are better equipped for ruling, and there are other elders that are better equipped for teaching. All of whom rule, and all of whom teach for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen. If today you've never come face to face with your sin, if today you've never acknowledged that you're a sinner, saying the same thing about your sin that God says about you, seek somebody out today. Talk through these matters. choose you this day whom you will serve.